Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 48. The Reverend Phil Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark chapter 9. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterward speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brothers sometimes stir each other up to do things that get them in trouble. I don't know if you had any brothers or saw brothers in your families, but sometimes that happens. And certainly, as we read through the gospel accounts, we can look at two brothers who sometimes got themselves in a bit of trouble because of things that they did or said, and those two were James and John. John specifically focused on in our text for today. Jesus gave James and John the nickname Sons of Thunder, just because who knows what was going to come out of their mouth or their actions the next. In Luke 9, we read that they wanted to call fire down from heaven because a Samaritan village did not accept Jesus and the rest of them. In Mark 10, we read that James and John snuck into Jesus' presence and said, "Hey, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you allow us to sit on your right and on your left?" Much to the chagrin of the rest of the disciples, who were probably only angry because James and John beat them to the punch. And here in our text for today, in Mark chapter 9, we find Mark being upset about what on the surface would seem to be a good thing. Mark had been witness of a man casting out demons. I don't know if you've ever had any confrontation with demons in your life, but from my perspective, when I think about somebody casting out a demon and delivering somebody, I'm like, yay, Jesus, score him a point. Satan, you're zero. That makes me happy. But John was upset about it. And why? You know, he comes to Jesus and he says brashly, "You know, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, but we hindered him because he wasn't following us." Interesting scenario, isn't it? I imagine that John expected something like from Jesus, "Good job, John. You know, we must have proper order within this kingdom of heaven that's coming to earth. And it's a good thing that you stopped that guy, even though he was doing a good thing." But surprisingly, John gets the opposite response from Jesus. And he hears from Jesus say those words, "If someone is not against us, they are for us. Someone who's doing things in my name will probably not be doing things against me after that." John was struggling to understand that what he was really involved in was not some human structure of hierarchy where he and 11 others had gotten in on the ground floor, sort of like investors in Apple stock back in the day, and they were the ones who really scored because they were first. The kingdom of God here on earth is the kingdom of light clashing with the kingdom of darkness as Jesus himself conflicts with Satan here where Satan roams. But John was wanting all of this to fit into this hierarchy that he had in his head. Jesus is the leader. The 12 of us, we apostles, we're the next rung. And after that, if somebody doesn't acknowledge our hierarchy, then even if they're doing something good like casting out a demon, we're going to stop them. Jesus simply says, whoever's not against us is for us. All of this gives us a chance this morning. There's a lot of confusing and conflicting thoughts that can fill our minds as we live out our lives. It gives us a chance to ponder as all of us are dedicated and committed to living out our vocations in life, whatever those might be. Certainly for those of us sitting here in this room, working in a building that is devoted to some degree to a fair amount of hierarchy in the church, isn't it? All of us are dedicated and focused on trying to carve out some level of organization and decency and order so that the church might function. As we do that, though, because we are human beings, it can often also be mixed with our own sense of our thirst for control, our thirst to have things happen in the way that help us in our own comfort levels. Jesus makes the case that if someone is not attacking him, he's for him. But for us, the more orderly we can make things be, the better and more comfortable we feel. So at the risk of really ticking somebody off here this morning, if so, just get up and walk out. I won't have my feelings hurt. But if you're one of those people that can't stand to have one piece of paper out of place on your desk, or to have one stray email in your Outlook box, or to have one picture a little bit crooked on the wall in your house or in your office, because you need to have everything just completely straight and orderly to feel okay, you're probably going to struggle with the kingdom of God. Because oftentimes, the kingdom of God making its intrusion here on earth is a very, very, very messy thing. Why is the kingdom of God's presence here on earth messy? It's simple. It's the same old sort of children's message answer all the time. It's because we're sinners. And every one of us bring and drag with us our own balls and chains of sin along with us that makes us clash with each other. And it's into the midst of that, even for those of us who are saved, we're still struggling with that, let alone the church exerting its presence into the throng of those who are not saved, that we're going to have this clash between heaven and hell, between that which is orderly of God and that which is in chaos in this world. But I will make the point. I believe that a sign of a healthy congregation is going to be where there's quite a bit of messy around. There's going to be conflicts that happen in a church. There are going to be addicts who are struggling. There are going to be the lepers and the outcasts and the sick and the mourners and maybe even at times the demon-possessed as well. But Jesus doesn't invite us to bring all of our messy ways into the church so that we can celebrate that diversity. But all that messy comes into the church so that Jesus may put life where there was once death. That's what the church is. We don't celebrate the messy, not at all. The messy is evidence of the fact that, we are all sinners. There's nothing to celebrate about that. But just as when we look at the ministry of Jesus, when we see that there were throngs of thousands of hungry people at the end of a day of preaching that are all saying, "Give us something to eat," and the disciples are panicking. It's messy. It's messy when Jesus is in a house so packed with people that there's not room for one more, and somebody cuts a hole in the ceiling and drops that sick person right in front of Jesus. It's messy on every occasion when the disciples get caught in a storm out on the sea and Jesus has to bring the rescue. But in the midst of all that messy, there will be the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, "I'm not going to leave you in the messy, but I'm going to deliver you and give you my peace." So how long do we have to deal with all the messy? And the answer to that is, until Jesus comes back. Someday, when we are in the paradise of the new heaven and the new earth, once perfected in the power of the resurrection in Jesus Christ, all of that bickering will disappear. James and John won't be trying to budge their way to the front of the line anymore to say, "We're more important than everybody else is." Instead, we will see the elect, the redeemed, the children of God, our brothers and sisters, all in the way that God now sees us through our baptisms, spotless and holy and blameless in Him. In the meantime, as we look forward to that day, we heed Jesus' words when He says, "Don't be throwing a scandal in the way of these little ones." That word scandalon, don't throw something that trips somebody up, a death trap, in the way of one of these little ones. The context right before our text today was little children, but I'm wondering if Jesus is also referring to that one who was casting out demons who hadn't yet risen up the ranks of church hierarchy. What a sight that will be, to see all things restored. In the meantime, we have to be careful with each other that we are not the cause of someone walking away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus makes it extreme, like He has done several times in the gospel. "It would be better," He says, "if you lost a hand or an arm or even plucked out an eye, and go through the rest of life blind or lame, rather than to end up in Gehenna, in hell." The text gives us a very clear view of what all of us need to see every day, in every situation. We are living in the clash between heaven and hell, between Jesus and Satan. And if we expect that, we won't be quite so upset about that one piece of paper that's a little out of organization on our desk. In closing, I share with you some words of St. Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul said, "To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ. But I became as one outside of the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Imagine that, sharing in the blessings with all of the redeemed in the presence of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.